Turn your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, we'll be reading two verses there, verses 6 and 7. I'll read verse number 6 if you'll join with me on verse number 7. Once you've found Isaiah chapter 9, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And let's pray this morning. God, again we come. We thank you for the opportunity we have to open up this great book. Thank you for the Bible you've given us. Lord, I pray that this morning again you'd rest our attention for what the man of God that you gave him this morning. I pray that we'd listen, have open ears and hearts for what you have. Lord, I do pray for the special, prepare our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.
Shine your light a little brighter tonight. Shed your beam a little longer this evening. Here on Bethlehem's stable.
Shepherd, watch your lamb a little closer tonight. There's a lamb that has been born to redeem us. Down in Bethlehem's stable. Angels, tell the news of his birth. Peace to men on the earth this night. Wise men, bring your gifts from afar as you follow the star this night. Night of night.
There's a baby born to bring us salvation here in Bethlehem's stable. People, praise your God a little longer tonight. Praise and thank him for the gift he has given here in Bethlehem's stable. News of his birth, peace to men on the earth this night. Wise men, bring your gifts from afar as you follow the star this night. Night of night, night of night. Shine your light a little brighter tonight. Shed your beam a little longer this evening on this night of nights. On this night.
That was a blessing. Thank you, folks. I appreciate that. Good song. I know that's a new one for me. Maybe I've heard it and just don't remember. That does happen. But that's a new one, I think. So that was great. Well done tonight, this morning, tonight, night of nights. Good singing. I appreciate it. Good to see the Johnson boys. I just see you guys come in up there, Tony, Dan, Nick, Tony's friend. And I'm glad you're here, too. I'm sorry I don't have your name, but probably heard it one time and forgot it, too. But anyway, glad you're here this morning. So I want to speak to you on this subject, the increase of peace. Now, I want you to look at verse number 7. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. When have you ever heard of the increase of government resulting in peace? But it's here. So let's talk about the increase of peace this morning. Father, it's good to be here. I love this time of year. It's just wonderful. And it's all wrapped around Your precious Son. And as much as the world would like to squash it, it seems like the more they try to squash it, the more important it becomes. And we're just thankful that we are in a place this morning that's happy to recognize the birth of Christ and happy to be with people who have a hunger to know You and Your Word. So speak to us this morning. Help us, I pray. May this come, and Lord, may the truth come and grip us right in our hearts where we can practice it and enjoy it in our lives. In Jesus' name. And amen. The overreach of government is well documented and a source of hot debate between liberals and conservatives and between those who would endorse big government versus small government or vice versa. If you want to attempt something that is guaranteed to frustrate you, then talk to someone in government. How's your healthcare going these days? I have never heard so much frustration and aggravation coming from people about this matter of health care. If you think that's frustrating, you ought to talk with the IRS. You know, being a church, we are very careful how we do our finances here, and so we want to make sure everything's above board. And occasionally, we need to talk to the IRS. But friend, trying to get anything out of them, if you talk to this department of the IRS, they'll say one thing. You talk to this department of the IRS, they say something 180 degrees opposite what this department told you. And if you go to the third one, you're probably going to get the most accurate answer. We don't know. Now, folks, if they don't know, how do they expect us to know? Okay? But, you know, it's crazy how it happens sometimes. It's absolutely frustrating, and that doesn't surprise us about government. As the government increases, it seems the more confused and oppressed the people become. Now, we still live, and when you compare America to the rest of the world, we still live in the land of the free, okay? No doubt about that, but if you're an honest American, we've lost some freedom in the last several years, and there's no doubt about that either. That's generally the way of human government. The larger the government, the less freedom the people have. Okay, that's generally how it is. But there is coming a government that will not be obtrusive to mankind. In fact, that government will bring in a new era of peace unlike the world has ever known. Or I should say, maybe the world knew it for a very short time. But it was only enjoyed by two people, Adam and Eve. All right? But there's coming a government that is going to bring in an era of peace that the world has never known. And we learn about that government in our Bible from this passage. Now, Isaiah 9 is one of the great messianic passages of the Old Testament. So, in other words, it's Scripture, Old Testament Scripture, that's talking about the coming Messiah, the coming Jewish Messiah, okay? It's written by the pen of Isaiah, and it tells us about the coming of Messiah, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of the Jewish people are still looking for the Messiah. But the Scriptures make it plain as day that the Old Testament Messiah was fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Now, this chapter is about the coming of the Lord Jesus to His people, the Israelites. The close of chapter 8 tells us how dark spiritually the land of Israel would be when the Messiah is sent to them. Now, we know that the Jewish people were under strong government oppression at the hand of the Romans when Jesus was born. You know that. That's why Herod's involved in the Christmas story and so forth, okay? Many of the Jews looked at the Messiah as their answer to the government's oppression. They thought the Messiah would come riding in on a horse and overthrow the Roman government and all the oppression that they were under. But listen, church, the greater than the oppression at the hand of the Roman government was the oppression that people were under because of sin. And that's why the Messiah came. Now, ultimately, Jesus will sit on His throne. But He came to deal with the matter of sin first. And God proclaims some things that will happen to the nation of Israel in the near and distant future in this chapter. In verses 6 and 7, tell us of the coming Messiah. And I want to bring out two truths about Him this morning and then apply it, especially the second truth, to our lives today. Now I want you to see, first of all, that this coming Messiah, the Bible tells us that He will be deity. He will be deity. Look at the first part of verse number 6. I mentioned this on Wednesday night. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, in those two phrases, we see that this coming Messiah would be a special person. Those two phrases are not talking about two different people. Those two phrases are talking about one person with two natures. One person with two natures. We find this in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 6, a child is born. That speaks of the human nature of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was 100% human when He came into this world, born of Mary's womb, all right? But the second phrase, a son is given, that speaks of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. A child is born tells us that Christ's humanity had a beginning. A son is given tells us that Christ already existed when His birth occurred, before His birth occurred. You see, we're talking about two natures here in one person. This is repeated in the New Testament in a couple, three different places, several places. But let me read one to you out of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Listen to what the Bible says. In the beginning was the Word. And the word is with a capital or uppercase W. That means that it's a personal noun. That's what that word is, a personal noun. It's a person, place, or thing. The word is not referring to a place. The word is not referring to a thing. The word, the name word there is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? In the beginning was the Word. Now, wait a minute. The beginning, not referring to His beginning, but referring to when creation came into existence. The beginning of time as you and I know it. Folks, God never began. He's always existed. Okay? Now, just because you and I, you know, can't wrap our minds around that totally, doesn't mean that that's not true. That's very true. God has always existed. But we're talking in the beginning of time, as men know it. In the beginning of time, when creation came into existence, listen to it, in the beginning was the Word. So the Word was already there when creation came into existence. The Word already existed. And then the Bible says this, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus has been in existence as long as God has been in existence because Jesus is God. Now that may not set well with your Seventh-day era Jehovah's Witness people and others who deny who the Lord Jesus really is. Call Him a great preacher and a great teacher and a miracle worker, but they fall well short of referring to Him as God. But our Bible makes it plain. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're talking about a person with a divine nature. A divine nature. Now listen to John chapter 1 later on in the same chapter. John chapter 1 and verse 14. Listen to this. And the Word, the same name, the capital W-O-R-D, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, who was in the beginning with God and who is God, was made flesh. You see, this pre-existent Jesus Christ, who is God and has been in existence as long as God has been in existence, this pre-existent Jesus Christ took upon Himself a human body, the form of a human being, and so much so that the body placed in the womb of the Virgin Mary there, conceived by the Holy Ghost. And this baby Jesus was born with a body like the little babies have who are back there in our nursery. This Jesus Christ, this pre-existent Jesus Christ, was now a person in the size of the body the size of a little baby. He had childlike eyes and childlike ears and childlike little fingers and childlike little toes. He's a real human baby, but not just a human baby. That's God in that little baby's body there. And that's what the Bible's talking about here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born. Jesus was a baby in a human body, but He was not just a baby. He is a son given, a son of God given to us. The pre-existence Jesus Christ given to mankind. Now friend, that is our Messiah. That's the Jewish Messiah. Right here, He is deity. Let it go to rest. If you get into an argument or a debate, I wouldn't waste my time debating with people who deny the deity of Jesus Christ. I think our scripture pretty well in the book of John tells us that, the first John. In fact, the first it even tells you there that you shouldn't even bid Him Godspeed. You see, to deny that Jesus is God just rips away His deity. That's a disservice to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we see that He will be deity. But now, second of all, the one I want to spend the most time on this morning, we're going to see about this coming Messiah, that He's going to be deity. Number two, we're going to see that He will bear the burden of government. Now, look at verse number 7 there. Verse number 6. Okay, we got the child born and the son given. That's one person, Jesus Christ. Watch this. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. Now, folks, do you know that bearing the responsibility of government is a difficult task? Ruling over people is not an easy vocation. But the Bible says that Jesus would shoulder the responsibility of government, and He would do it perfectly, so perfectly, in fact, that He would be called many names by the people under His rule. Look at these names in verse number 6. He will bear the burden of government. It'll be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You see, this Messiah, this deity who would come in the form of a baby, would someday bear the burden of government. He would do a great job of ruling and would have the respect and love of people. They would call Him Wonderful. They will call Him Counselor. They will call Him God. They will call Him Father. They will call Him Prince. The Messiah would be all of these to all people. You see, folks, truly, Jesus is more than just a child born. He is a son given. He is deity, the Son of God, who will shoulder the responsibility of government. Now, let me ask you a question. When did that happen? I'm sorry? Somebody said it. I think it hasn't. You see, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger, we know the first part of this verse was fulfilled in Christ's birth in Bethlehem. A child was born, a son was given, that little baby. Look at all the details surrounding that birth. Wonderful. Okay? But when Jesus lived on earth for those 33 and a half years, He didn't bear the government on His shoulder and rule with such effectiveness that He was adored by people. Truth matters, He was hated by people. He was called, in fact, at one point in time, the religious people of Jerusalem said He was possessed by the spirit of a devil. They didn't recognize, they didn't call Him Wonderful. Now, He's just a carpenter's son. That's all He is. We know His daddy. His daddy's a carpenter. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? No. They didn't call Him Wonderful. They didn't call Him God. They didn't call Him Father, the bulk of the population. Jesus didn't rule during His 33 and a half years on earth. You see verse number 6 there? There is a colon after the word given. That colon separates the first statement. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, colon. Now here's something completely different about this same person. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. His first coming was in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. His second coming has not yet happened. And that's what that verse is talking about. That verse is giving us the difference between His first coming and His second coming. His first coming happened in Bethlehem's manger. We sing songs about it this time of the year. We celebrate His birth. His second coming has not happened yet, but when He does come the second time, He's going to set up His kingdom, and He is going to bear the burden of government, and He's going to do it perfectly, and He will be worshipped, and He'll be called by all those names there in verse number 6. He will rule so perfectly that the increase of His government is going to result in peace for all people. Look at verse 7. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Now, folks, you think about that. You think of someone whose rule results in peace for people. Now, who do you know that's fit that description in human history? You see, one day Christ will set up His kingdom. And He will take the throne of His father David, and Christ will order that kingdom, and He will establish it with judgment and justice. All this hubbub for justice in this day and age. All this hubbub for justice. Let me tell you when the earth is going to see real justice. When Jesus Christ sits on the throne of His kingdom. That's when the earth is going to see real justice. And the Bible says the zeal of God will make sure that all this happens. Now, what a day that will be. A government that literally brings peace on earth. Peace will not be held in place by a treaty. Just a few words on paper. Do you realize, folks, how many peace treaties have been signed and broken in human history? Let me give you one example. The armistice that ended World War I, the peace treaty that was signed between Britain, France, and Germany. You know how long that lasted? 21 years. Real effective treaty, wasn't it? Put a bunch of words on a piece of paper. And I, of course, wasn't alive back then. You'd have to talk to somebody who were alive back in 1918. But I mean, all the pomp and circumstance that went along with signing that peace treaty. Oh, look at what we've done. Look at what we've accomplished. Yeah, how long did that last? 21 years. That's what peace treaties do. It's just a bunch of words on paper. The truth of the matter is, some of the peace treaties between the Arabs and the Israelis haven't lasted for 24 hours. It lasts 24 hours. And all the stuff that goes into it and all the pomp and circumstance and the big deal that the media makes about it. No, but one of these days, there is coming a man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And when He comes the second time, He is going to sit on the throne of His father David in the city of Jerusalem, and He is going to reign, and you're going to see peace for 1,000 years. And the truth of the matter is, a little bit of an uproaring there at the end. And then all of that is going to put down, and the reign of Jesus Christ is going to go on and on. And watch this. The more He increases, the more His government increases, the greater the peace is. That's opposite human government. The bigger human government becomes, the more oppressed people are. Now, that's going to happen. This Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, part of this has been fulfilled. Part of it has not been fulfilled. Now, let me say something. If the first part of this verse has been fulfilled, I wouldn't bet against the second part being fulfilled. You say, well, that sounds like a wild tale. Well, it may be wild, but it's not tale. It's wild truth. Jesus is going to come, and He's going to set up His throne. Now, He will be deity. He will bear the burden of government on His shoulder. But here's the thing that I want us to see primarily this morning. Here's what I want us to take home for our lives, our marriages, our families, our homes, our work. Here it is. And it's built on the same thing we just talked about. The greater the rule of Christ, the greater our peace. You say, well, that's not going to happen until Jesus comes. I'm not talking about world peace. I'm talking about your peace. I'm talking about my peace. I'm talking about our peace. The greatest peace ever known to the world will come when Jesus is King. That hasn't happened yet. The greater His extent of rule becomes, the greater the peace increases. That is yet to come. But in a practical and personal way, we can experience the application of that truth right now. The more I live under the reign, the rule of Jesus, the greater my peace. The less Jesus rules in my life, the less peace I have. Because He's the Prince of Peace. The increase of peace in my life and your life is the result of us giving Jesus Christ His place as King of our lives. You see, Jesus, the more, this is how Jesus operates. The more we yield to His rule, the greater the peace we enjoy. Let me show you something here. Hold your finger. I don't think we'll come back there. So let's go over to Colossians chapter 3. Just turn to the book of Colossians in your New Testament just a minute. And let me show you a little bit where this is found in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3. We're talking about the increase of peace. I don't know about you, but I enjoy peace in my heart. I enjoy peace in my home. I enjoy peace in my life. I just enjoy peace. And I want to tell you something, friend. The peace you and I enjoy is the direct result of how much our lives are governed by Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. Now look at Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, that's saved people, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Folks, can we say that verses 12 and 13, as according to the last phrase of verse 13, that's how Christ wants us to live? Right? Holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, not proudful. Meek, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do you live. This is how you'll live if Christ rules your life. Look at verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, love in action, which is the bond of perfectness, maturity. Look at this, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So the more I live under the influence of Jesus Christ, the greater my peace. Just like the world is going to experience someday in the future when Jesus sits on the throne of His father David and rules the world is going to know peace because Jesus reigns. But I don't have to wait till then. I can have it today. I can have it tomorrow. He said, aren't you scared? I'm not a bit scared. I'm cautious. And interpret this like you want to. I'm prepared. But I'm not scared. My gut's not churning. I have peace this morning. Now the world may not have it. But you and I can have it. We can live in peace. Because the greater the rule of Christ, the greater the increase of peace. That's just how Jesus operates. You know, people are sometimes hesitant to commit to the rule of Christ in their lives. They're hesitant. Are you hesitant to commit to His rule in your life? Are you hesitant to commit to the rule of Christ in your marriage? Are you hesitant to commit to the rule of Christ in your home, your relationships, your entertainment, your finances? Has the devil convinced you that if you commit to Christ, you'll have no fun, you'll have no life? He's a liar. He's a liar. And that's not just my opinion. That's what Jesus Christ called Him. The Father of lies. Think with me. Think this morning. People, think if Jesus Christ called the devil the father of liars, then what He offers people is not real. Oh, He's a master in imagery. But He's short on substance. I've come to experience that I don't much care for when people are big on image and short on substance. For instance, did you ever see a picture of a hot fudge chocolate sundae in a newspaper or magazine? And you looked at that thing and you went, oh, I've got to have one of these. And so you set aside some time to go to that restaurant because you saw the picture of that hot fudge sundae. And man, you ate your meal, you ate a little bit less than normal, and they said, you want anything for dessert? Yeah, I'll take one of those hot fudge sundaes. And they brought it out there and you just stared at it. Where's my picture? Big on image, short on substance. You really believe this? When all these billboards with these pictures of these happy, smiling, cheerful folks all getting drunk, you really think you're missing out? Because as a Christian ruling, Christ ruling in my life, I can't do that. Let me tell you what, folks, that is the master image. There's no substance to that. Let me tell you what there is. There's black eyes and dead bodies. It's all imagery. You got the perfect example in your Bible. The perfect example. I mentioned them a little while ago. The only two people who've ever lived on earth in complete peace was Adam and Eve. In the Garden of Eden. They had such a peaceful, contented life in that garden. They had one law, one command. One. And as long as they lived under the rule of God, they had peace. Do you know what they enjoyed? They enjoyed communion with God, communion with each other. Can you imagine that for a man and his wife? Harmony in their marriage. Wonderful fellowship. Walk with God every day. You talk about peace. Here comes the devil. And he implies that God is keeping something from them. Oh, if we only knew what God was holding back from you. You're getting the short end of the stick. And they bought into that. And they disobeyed God, and when they disobeyed God, the rule of Christ was overthrown. The rule of God was overthrown, and guess what? All that they had been missing, they suddenly got. Yeah. Things they had never experienced previously, they now were living. Fear. Oh, where was that fear when Christ was ruling in their life? Guilt. Where was that when they were living under the reign of God? Shame, selfishness, and judgment. All of those things were absent when they were living under the rule of God. But as soon as they came out from under the rule of God, their peace was shattered. And now they're hiding, trying to cover their body with a little fig leaf apron. And then when God finally calls them out, they start pointing fingers at each other. It's her fault. It's fine. Rah, rah, rah. And then judgment comes. Boy, it's a shame they'd missed out on all that when they were living under the rule of God, wasn't it? How long has the devil been lying? And he has no new lie. No new lie. Same lie. Told over and over and over and over and over and over. If Christ rules in your life, you're going to miss out. If Christ rules in your life, you're going to not enjoy this and not enjoy that. You know what? I'm not saying that there's not some measure of pleasure in sinful living, because the Bible does make that clear. But I want to tell you something, folks. Peace, the peace you enjoy when Christ rules in your heart, is no comparison to that short little season of fun. None. The increase of peace. Somehow we've got it in our minds that, you know, I'll be happy and my life will be somewhat sedate and peaceful when I can have what I want and be what I want and do what I want. If I can just have what I want and be what I want, do what I want, then I'm sure I'll have peace. You'll have frustration, aggravation, discontentment. But when you live under the rule of Christ, your peace increases. Because He is the Prince of Peace. There is no car that brings what He brings. There is no house that brings what He brings. There is no worldly entertainment that brings what He brings. None. But all the peace of living under the reign of Christ. You don't have to fear that, folks. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Who sits upon the throne of your heart this morning? That's a fair question. Who sits upon the throne of your heart? Are you really that nervous? Are you that fearful of giving Christ control? You don't need to be. Because the more control He has, the greater the peace. As you let the Word of Christ dwell in you, as you let the principles of Christ in your life, as you allow them to take root in your heart and life, and you live by them, the peace just grows. I'm not saying there'll be problem-free, but there will be peace in the face of the problems. Peace. Peace. It's a great word, isn't it? Peace. It only comes as a result of Jesus reigning and ruling in our lives. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. God, I pray that you'll take the simple thought today, kind of a past, present, and future message. The past, celebrating the birth of Christ, the deity. The future, when Jesus will sit on the throne of His father David, rule and reign for 1,000 years. And then, Lord, the present is the application of that last point, allowing Jesus to rule in our hearts and the peace that we enjoy. Father, bless us this morning. Spirit of God, would You do what no person, no man can do? Would You take this truth and sink it into the heart that needs it most today? That's my prayer. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I've lived on both sides of this, folks. I bought into the devil's imagery through 3 or 4 of my teenage years. There was no peace. None. A few laughs along the way. Some yuckety-yucks with friends. But it didn't last. Then I got saved. And tried to yield these years to the rule of Christ. I'm at peace this morning. Many of you are at peace this morning. Some are not. Some have personal problems. Some have marriage issues. Relationship issues. Christ has to rule for there to be peace. There's somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my message, to my heart during the message, particularly today, about the reign of Christ in my life. Pray for me because God spoke to me specifically. Would you slip your hand up wherever you're sitting this morning? I want to pray for you in just a moment. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I should have raised my hand just then. Pastor, pray for me. Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. Yes. Yes. It's a truth, folks. It's as true as in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The increase of Christ's government results in the increase of peace. That's all there is to it. When Christ rules, there's peace. Father, I pray for every person lifted a hand. I pray that You'll please address the need, the situation, the circumstance in their life. And thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. May we live under His rule. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would there be anybody here this morning who say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm even saved, where I'm going to spend eternity when I die. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? You're not sure that you're saved. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you as we close the service in just a moment. I'm not sure that I'm saved. If you're here, you've been saved and not baptized, I would invite you to come and obey the Lord in believer's baptism and do that. Do what's right with that. Most of all, the target of the message this morning was for people, all of us, to examine our hearts. Is Christ reigning? If not, put Him on the throne and enjoy the increase of peace. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing the song of invitation. You obey the Lord this morning and do what God tells you to do. If you raise your hand, you feel like you need to spend a moment here. The altar is always open. If you're not sure that you're saved, would you come? Let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Would you come this morning while we wait? The increase of peace is only a result of the increase of Christ's reign. You can have it. That peace that passes all understanding as Christ rules in our heart. While we wait today, just as I am without one plea, they're playing that great invitation hymn. You come.